Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Ayin Vav, and we continue here in the eighth parak of Maseches Trumas, all about the issues of Gilui, as the Mishnah here spoke about Mayim Gluyim, relating to what happens if you have Truma that's Galui, and you have to throw it out because, or get rid of it, so but nobody eats from it, and greater Gedola Sakanta Me Yisura, and even though there's a mitzvah to eat Truma, and there's an Isser of Ibu Truma, but if it's dangerous, it's dangerous, and that takes precedence, as we have seen. Does a person, Yotev and Ichnas, prevent? We spoke about yesterday. What happens if somebody is sleeping next to it? We had the story yesterday in terms of prevention. And then the last story that we just had at the end of the daf was Reb Zeira was falling asleep, but he kept this his hand on the wine bottle, so then it didn't cause any problems, and he finally saw the tiny little worm outside, and he said, "Oh, see, I prevented it from being any problems." So, Amar Rabbi Ami, the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Ami, Tzrichin lemeichus lemad b'riyasa chashashin. You have to be choshesh in dangerous activities. You have to be choshesh from what people think are consider dangerous, right? Asur, and therefore I give some examples. One of them is the Mayim Gluyim. But other examples, one has to make sure that if there's something that's considered dangerous, so then it's a problem, right? This is the opposite of the principle of, it works together, of Shomer P'sayim Hashem. Shomer P'sayim Hashem is the halachic principle that says that there is a certain level of danger that is acceptable to people when they're involved in life activities, right? We cross the street, and we drive in a car, and we eat certain fatty foods. So we do a lot of activities that have some little bit of danger to it, but that's acceptable. Shomer P'sayim Hashem, Hashem guards those who are simple, who are naive, however you translate P'sayim. But here Rabbi Ami says, but things that people consider dangerous, you know, one has to be choshish from. So it's always the question of what the line is. What's the line between something that is dangerous versus something that is acceptable, right? And therefore, the Gemara gives a couple of examples, right? Asur lemeitan barnash, pritin gopuma. A person is not supposed to put coins in his mouth. I don't know if this was a hobby in those days. They just put coins in the mouth, but the Gemara says not a good idea. Why? Because coins have germs. The Pnei Moshe says, "Mipnei prutos yad hakom amashvishin bohen." Right, everybody's handling coins. Who knows what's on their hands? Upaamim yeshalei and rok yavesh. Maybe there'll be dry saliva on the coin. Mimuche shchin from people who have this illness. Ozeas haadam or from perspiration. Shu sam hamaves chutz bizeas upon him. Right, there's danger. There's germs there. So don't put money into your mouth. Again, I don't know, it must have been a practice in those days. Also, not a good idea, v'tafshila tute arsa. Don't keep food under the bed. Food under the bed is not a good idea, right? This is already quoted elsewhere. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about this, right? One might be aware of this. Food under the bed, that the Gemara says in Ochlin Umashkin, Kuf Yud Beis Amad Aleph in Pesachim. Ochlin Umashkin Takas Amita, Afilu Mechupin, Bekli Barzel, Ruach Ra'a Shore Aleihem. There's Ruach Ra. There's an evil spirit that's under the bed. Right? Ruach Ra Shore Aleihem, that's the Gemara in Pesachim. So here too, the Rambam and the Ravid discuss this about food under the bed. The Rambam seems to say, don't keep food under the bed because maybe there's going to be an animal that's going to go in and maybe there's going to be like related to Gluyim. Right, the Rambam says, "V'chein in Perek Yud Beis." We spoke about this already yesterday in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Hanefesh. All the different worries of the Nikurei Teinim Anavim, and then the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet, "Aser LaAdam Litein Maos O Dinarim LaToch Piv Shema Yishalem Roki Aveshel Mukeshchin O Mitzorayin O Zeya." Right, this is what the Pnei Moshe just quoted this Rambam. V'chein lo yitein adam pas yado tachas shichyo, shema naga bo miyado mitzora. V'lo yitein tavshil tachas amita, aval bishu osik pesuda, don't put it under the bed, shema yipol bo davar hamazik, v'hu eno roehu. The Rambam says maybe something mazik is going to fall in. That sounds like something physical. Something physical is going to fall in. The Ravid says, I don't know, look in Pesachim, it says ruach ra. That's something that you could see. That's something that you could see. L'may nafkamina. So it could be that some posts can say that it's not just under a bed. It's under a bed that somebody's sleeping in. Right, so according to the Rambam, lav dafka, somebody's sleeping in there. According to the Rambam's reason is that you're worried about davar amazik. There's a hesach hadas here, something might go in there, and a snake or some other thing, even without sleeping. But other poskim say, maybe it's only under a sleeping, a bed with a sleeping person, and then maybe that's the ruach roi issue. That's the ruach roi issue by keeping food under the bed. This does not aser b'di'eved, generally. Right, so it's not like the mayim gluyim. Mayim gluyim is, again, Shulchan Aruch says maybe we don't have to worry about this, bizban hazeh, but mayim gluyim, it's something that when it is relevant, so then you have to throw out the food, as we have seen. Sleeping under the bed, generally, I think the Pesachei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't throw out the food because of this. It's a lachan chila. One shouldn't keep food under the bed, but it doesn't aser it. Doesn't aser it at the oven. Okay, so what other dangerous activities does the Gemara say? Can't put coins in your mouth. Can't put food under the bed. Pita techoshichya, or putting food in the armpit, right? That is also some type of ruach ra. Mitza sakino go pugla, sakino go esroga, right? Or sticking a knife, right, into, sticking a knife into a radish or into an esrog. Because again, where do you keep knives in those days? So maybe you stick it into a fruit. So, but that's dangerous because maybe you'll take a bite out of the fruit, or maybe you might use the fruit, and keeping it into the fruit, the point might be hurt you, and therefore it'll be a problem, right? The Mara Folda says Sheba Yipal Al Chuldo. Maybe you'll fall on the tip, right? The Ravid says Bizi Ochlin, but that's the again. But it's clear that they didn't know where to put the knives, and there are discussions in Halacha and Agada about in the days of old that they don't have drawers to put the knives in, so you have to find a place to keep it where it doesn't cause a danger. In Hilchos Shabbos, they talk about sticking a knife into a barrel, right? Because that's where you kept it, sticking it into a barrel. And then you want to take it out on Shabbos. Can you take it out on Shabbos? Are you making the barrel bigger? Are you widening it? Are you allowed to put it back in a previous hole, right? That the or is sticking into the it's some other Pesach Yafe, right? So that's in the halachic realm, Hilchos Shabbos, they talk about it. In the agadic realm, right, remember the story of Rabbi Akiva's daughter, right, sticking the knife into the wall. Not just a knife, that's not a knife, but sticking a sharp brooch or something that goes into her hair. Remember that was the story all the way to the end of Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Nun Vav Mabei, second to last half of Shabbos, where the Chaldeans told Rabbi Akiva that his daughter was going to die on the day of her wedding. And Rabbi Akiva was very nervous about that, and therefore, He just davened a lot, right? He said, "Rabbi Kiva, le barti amrli kaldoi, hahu yama da'ilu beganada tarek lechivya." Right, a snake's going to bite her, Amisa. She's going to die on the day of her wedding. Habidigal amilsa tuva. He was very nervous, and that day, he was thinking and thinking until the following day. Finally, after the wedding, he sees her. He's like, "Oh, Baruch Hashem!" But he says, "What did you do yesterday?" She's like, "I'm married." Anything else you do yesterday? And she's thinking and thinking, and she says, "Whoa, there was one time during the pictures, and everybody was running around and busy, and there was an ani that came to the gate, and I gave him my food from the wedding because he didn't have anything to eat." So Rabbi Kiva says, "Oh, stuck a tatsavim avis," right? And that's the Gemara. But in that Gemara, it talks about Ahu Yoma when she went to sleep that night, when she was getting undressed. Ahu Yoma shakalta lachabanta. She had some type of sharp pin in her hair, and what do you do with it? You just put it down, but you can't put it down in those days. There's no drawers. So what she do? She stuck it in the wall because that's what you do with sharp things. You stick it in the wall, right? The Gemara says here, you don't stick it into fruit, right? But stick it in the wall, and the next day, as we know the story, she sees that there was a snake that she killed by sticking it into the wall, and the snake was hanging down from the pin, and that's how he knew. Shtaka tasmi mavis, right? Dasta begudi esrami esav beene dechivya. Letzafar, she sees it and she runs to her father, right? So that she met her father. That's Soka Tazmi Mavis. The Gemara says here about not sticking knives into fruit. So again, there's different activities in halacha that the poskim talk about in terms of where's the line. Where's the line of Tzricha Lamechash Lamaydi Bar Yasa Choshishin? You have to be Choshish for what people are Choshish versus Shomer Psoim Hashem. Right, so some activities are clearer than others. What is acceptable behavior? Certain types of sports activities. What is acceptable behavior? Like, oh, people do this and you play this game versus certain type of extreme sports. Maybe one might say that, that goes beyond the pale of acceptable behavior for most people. Whenever you have to sign a waiver, if you have to sign a waiver beforehand, that already is getting into the little more danger zone in terms of that. Even remember, this is Reb Moshe speaks about this a lot in a number of his tshuvas about smoking. In terms of, and again, one can never know what Reb Moshe would say today. As you see, again, a number of poskim say bisman hazeh that smoking is usur. But in the earlier days, Reb Moshe has tshuvas about this, in the earlier days of the 1960s, where there wasn't as much evidence in terms of causing so many diseases, even if it was just lung cancer, Rachman al-Islan. But Reb Moshe in Tavshin Chav Dalid, in 1964, Reb Moshe writes, "Bedvar ishun sagarios vadai, bekivan sheish chshash lehischalos bizeh, since there is a chance, min aroy lehizor bazeh. Of a lomar she'asur me'isur sakanta, mekivan she'dashu barabim, kfar isa begemara, ki agavna shomer b'soyam Hashem." So he applies the principle of, so many people do it, so many people do it. Again, in the 60s. But again, more and more, every decade, there's more and more evidence, and there's more and more warnings on the packs. So that's how this has moved over. Again, in the, a couple hundred years ago, they thought smoking was healthy. In the days of the Pnei Yeshua, they talk about smoking on Yontif because it's activity that is shavah l'chol nefesh, but obviously today is the opposite. And then every decade, Reb Moshe has a tshuva is going, becoming more and more chamor, and then his last tshuva is in the 80s, right before he was nifter. So you don't know when Reb Moshe would say bisman hazeh with all the other evidence. But Reb Moshe in 1981, Tavshin Mem Aleph, he has a tshuva written to my father, in Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Vav, in Choshen Mishpat. My father begged him to aser it, for many, many years. But Reb Moshe held his guns and said, no, still Shomer B'Soyam Hashem. How many people smoke in the world? How many people get sick in the world and die from it? So again, the percentages were getting more and more, but even then, Reb Moshe would not aser. He says, Nira Pashit, to bedavar de'ika harbe shalo kashalu lebriyusam klum, going to harbe mine ochle, many people eat terrible things. Shein shinan and mehem biyoser, kibas rashmeina, like fatty meat, vidvarim harifim biyoser, avakashas elabriyusan, shokama miniyashi, lekabaz isra mila ochla, mitzachash shakana. Pshibacha de rovin, shilomastachan. Many people don't, get danger. And he says, here they're gonna get sick, misartan, cancer, ubaon machlos, misukanos. He says, as of now, the percentages can't bring it to the shomer, to break the shomer psalm Hashem. And he says, even though malas kvodo shehu rofe v'nimsa beveis cholim, you're a doctor that's in the hospital. V'roa kimapa chol yom cholim besartan areya. You see people with lung cancer, v'agaron and throat, v'gam beivar machim shenimsu yosem eilu shem ashtu sigarios, v'chenunami gam b'shar batei cholim mikol makom v'adai kol acholim nesu batei cholim. Even if you put all the cholim together as compared to how many people smoke in the world, so Reb Moshe still at that point applied the principle of shomer psalm Hashem. But he says, min aroy l'chol ishu v'pral b'nei torah shalol ha'ashen. He says, you know, but you shouldn't smoke. So this one isn't so famous in some places. This last line, that is a chumrah. Right? We're always looking for chumras. So even Reb Moshe said, it's a chumrah. Now it might be an isser. But this is one of the examples of the big discussions of where the line is drawn in terms of Rabbi Ami's statement here, to be choshesh from these dangerous activities and the shomer psalm Hashem. And again, sometimes activities move over from one category to the next. We continue. Third line. Amar Yossi Barbun calls Zeya Danafka Mi Barnash. Any perspiration that goes out from one person, Sama Vesu. It's dangerous. Maybe it has germs in it. Chutz Mi Zeya Saponim. Except for facial perspiration. Okay. Kachol and the Rabbi Nasan. Amar Le Arva Du Nafshachana. When they ask Rabbi Yonasan, when they asked Rabbi Yonasan about a question about Mayim Gluyim, remember we said that you shouldn't even ask about Mayim Gluyim. When they asked him a question, he says, am I a guarantor of your soul? Meaning I'm not taking, a responsibility. Am I a guarantor? Arva du nafshachana. Am Rabbi Yanai, in kata, that means if, what does that mean? If you want to, there's a suffik gilu, you're trying to save the water, save the wine. In kata, if you save it, Kata Shichar, what did you save? And in case it doesn't hurt you, so you've saved something black, meaning a little bit. Vim Oved, but if you lose, if you make the bad decision and drink something with Mayim Gluyim that is not safe, Oved Mergali, then you're going to lose a pearl, right? You can lose your life, right? So it's not worth it. It's not worth it to play around with the Mayim Gluyim issue, says Rabbi Yanai. Amar Jemen Lakish, Iluz Avand Garmech Leludgin. If you would sell your soul, yourself, to the Ludgin, what a Ludgin, or Ludium, another Girsa, this was a cannibalistic nation, the Marafolda notes, Uma ha'ochlim b'nei Adam. If you would sell yourself to the Ludgin, havim zaben lubidani garin, you would get a big price for that. You get a high price for that. And here for nothing by a safek gilui. You just because you want to eat a little bit because you're hungry. No, control yourself, says the Gemara. It's dangerous, and therefore don't partake. Remember that story of Reish Lakish in Gittin, right? That's an amazing, unusual story. Reish Lakish there in Gittin, Mem Zayinam and Aleph in the Bavli. Reish Lakish zavin nafshe leludai. He once sold himself to the Ludians, right? To this nation, right? The Rishonim, the Tosfos there discusses, is this before he came back to the fold or after? Right? Remember, Reish Lakish was a bandit. Rabbi Yochanan was makariv him. So Tosfos there wonders, kodem shechazer lemutav. This must have been before he came back. Why? He wouldn't have done this. This following story, had he been the Rosh Yeshiva, right? That's Tosfos. But other Mefarshim say, no, he did this to save people's lives. He did it to save people's lives. But what happened? You remember, he sold himself. He took himself a sack. A sack. In the sack were these big heavy stones and pointy things from the loom. Amar, and he knew that they always give him a last wish before they eat him. Right, they give him a last wish. So Gemiri de Yoma de Basar Kopo de Bay Minayo Abdi Lakecha de Lechaladbe. They think it's like going to give them Mechila. Right, if they give him the last wish, so they give him a last wish. So Yoma Basar Amrle, they said, Manicha Lacho, what would you like? Amrlu, Bina Akmatinchu Vosvinchu, Vachalchai Minayachu Amche Chaisu Palka. I want you to tie yourselves up, and I want to give you 1.5 slaps from what's in my bag. Right, and then that's what my last wish is. They said, okay, they always give the last wish. They tie themselves up, nayu, and then he gave him a big slap, or Shlokesh was a big guy, and whatever sharp and hard in there, basically he killed all of them. Right in that way. Katlinu Kulu Nafik Vaasa. Was this a bad thing? Was this a dangerous thing? Was this beneath his covet? He was saving people. So that's the discussion, how do you understand this story? And the Gemara continues. We're not going to go into the continuation. But again, that's selling themselves to the Ludoin. So Reish Lakish did it. So look who's talking here. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Reish Lakish is talking here. So there's two stories that you can put together. He has experience to selling yourself from the Ludians. Viter. Tani, Mayim Shed is Galu, Lo Yerabes, Bohen Bedo Beso. If somebody has Mayim Gluyim, not only can you not drink it, but you can't, in the days of old when you had dirt floors, you would sprinkle it onto the floor in order to keep the dust down. So one shouldn't do that. One shouldn't do that because, it's, maybe it'll be swept, and when you sweep it, and some of the liquid will, find their way into you. Vali Yishafche Bershes Rabim, also don't pour it into the street. People might step on it, and it'll go through, the venom will go into their feet when they're walking barefoot. V'lo yashke l'goy, you can't give it to a goy. V'lo yashke bebevas chavero, and you also can't give it to your friend's animal. Avamashke l'behemto, but your own animal you can. Now, what does that mean? Why your own animal, you're allowed to cause to die? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the Bavli talks about this, and says maybe we're talking about a certain type of animal like a cat. Like a cat might get sick, but it won't die. Therefore, your friend's animal, you shouldn't, because you can't cause damage. But your own animal, if it gets a little sick, it's okay. The Bar Avoda says, Shunra. Mayim shed is galu, lo yisha beres atit. Also, mayim gluyim, you cannot soak cement with it. Lo yisha beres atit. Why? Says the Bar Avoda, says the Rechai Kanievsky, shebitok shebo le gavlo, achar nitbaka eres, vo maybe kishes b'osa. Maybe some of it will get, as you're mixing it, some of it will get stuck on your hands, and then eventually it will make your way into your food, into your mouth. You shouldn't wash clothes with a mayim gluyim. Or other kalim. You can't use it, right? Because it's going to make its way into your body and cause danger. Others say they don't aser for it to be near body parts except where there's sirta. Sirta are folds and the indentations in the skin. Right, Marafolta, Makom Charitz Sheomed Sham Benivla. Right, Panav Kesirteim, like a face has a lot of some wrinkles and creases on it, where the eyes are, where the mouth is. So that is a problem. Anyway, near the face, Rosh Hashanah, the other Raglav Kesirteim, fingers, toes. So any place where there is any type of indentation and not something flat, right, kind of like Hilchas Chatzitza, where you have to make sure the those areas, those creases and folds are clean of any interposition. Whenever there is something dangerous and poisonous, it gets into folds, it gets into cracks. There's a clay yakar on in Bereshis where the Klei Yakra discusses the pasuk of the Eitz Sahara. At the Pesach, the sin crouches. But the Klei Yakra says there, the Eitz Sahara looks for a little crack. Looks for just like a bug. Sometimes you can, a bug or a fly looks for open skin. Open skin where there's a crack. Where does an infection, develop? Not on whole, healthy skin. Where there's a little crack, that's where infection develops and then spreads. So the Klei Yakra says that's like the Eitz Sahara. Looks for a crack in our spiritual armor. And right when there's a little a cut there, it goes right in there. So maybe you could say in the physical realm, poison also. Poison looks for that little fold, little fold, and one's got to be careful about that. One's got to be careful. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Klei Yakar. In Bereishis and Perek Daled, talks about this. Okay. Umayim shenes galu vayter, lo yigabo venasa isa. You shouldn't need dough with Mayim gluyim. Again, even though you're going to bake it, it's going to get really hot. No, it's still a problem. Reb Nechemya Omer, afiya mutter. Afiya is okay, but Reisha iras nachash kole ba'ar. Nechemya says that the poison is going to get burnt up in the fire, so it's okay. Reb Simon b'shem Reb Shua ben Levi Omar, b'she'enu nofelas. There's a simon to know. If the bread doesn't fall apart, so then you know that the poison is no longer effective. If it's a whole nice piece of bread, if it's still falling apart, that means the poison, the venom is still has effects, and therefore it's a problem. But you can't just boil up water. Right? We've had all these cases of mayim and yayin and chalav. The Mishnah never said, okay, boil it up. So even though Rabbi Chemi here says, baked bread gets rid of the poison, but water doesn't get rid of the poison. Ma bein pas mei bein amayim, what's the difference? Kan ha'or sholet. By the bread, the fire is more directly on the bread. The kan ina or sholet. And by water, it's not. Why? Kan akli mafsik. Here, water doesn't go directly on the fire. You put it in a pot. So there's a break between the pot, between the water and the fire. So that's why the pot kind of prevents a total effect, and therefore the water still keeps the venom in it. V'kan ein akli mafsik, but by bread it's directly on the fire. You can put it right on the fire, on the coals, however it is, and therefore the venom is totally gotten rid of from bread, and that's why bread, once it's baked, according to Reb Nechemya, it would be mutter. It would be mutter. Shmuel amar mayaseli rasha zeh. Shmuel says mayaseli rasha zeh. What does that mean? Marafolta hanachash. Right, Shmuel says, no. What's this Rasha going to do to me? Right, I drink hot. Right, and therefore he seemed to say that boiling water does get rid of the does get rid of it. Right, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I boil up all my water. I have a lot of hot water, so therefore I'm not worried. So milsa amra, what does that mean? The Gemara explains, soni shasu chamin mutarin. Shmuel thinks, again, Shmuel was a famous doctor, so soni shasu chamin mutarin. So Shmuel thinks that if there was venom in a cold drink and you boiled it up, that makes it mutter, that removes the venom power. Amra bichanina, rasha zed daito nekia. Rabbi Chanina goes further. He says, these nechashim, they only like very fine drinks. And even if something was boiled and then cooled off, they're still not going to drink it. They only like natural water that was never boiled. Milsa Amra, must be Rabbi Chanina holds, chamem asutsoni mutarin. Even if it was only boiled once and now it's cold, still, there's no issue. Rabbi Avo, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, benzeh benzeh aser. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know about these chilukim. I think they're both aser, whether it was boiled and cold, cold and boiled. Masnisa, Masayla, Rabbi Yochanan. The following Brisa supports Rabbi Yochanan Chamin. Right. So what is Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said they're both aser. Right. Cold to boiled and boiled to cold. Rabbi Yochanan said they're both aser. And the following Brisa, Tosefta supports Rabbi Yochanan Chamin. Calls Man Shemal and Hevel. As long as it is boiling, Hare Ilu Mutarin. Right. As long as it is boiling, it is mutter. What does that sound like? Meaning, what is not boiling anymore? It's no longer mutter. So that knocked out the second sheet that we said. And once it's boiled once, it's done. So this brisa supports no. Only while it's boiling. Avomayim ha-megulim, and this knocks out Shmuel, avo bishamachamman ha-reilu asurin. But once mayim is megula, then even if you do boil it up, it is asur. So the Tosefta knocks out both and says that they're both asur. Okay, what if you use liquid for other things? Do we assume that the nachash is not going to go into those?
So make kvashim, umei shlakos, umei termesin, hareilu mutarin. If you have liquid that you use for pickling, or for cooking, or mei termesin, so those, we assume the nachash is not going to drink from them. The case before was that, what would we say for Shmuel, if you had eres that's boiled up, that doesn't ruin the eres. But if it's already boiled, cooked, so then, that's what this line, mei shlakos, you cooked vegetables in it, so it's not just the water, but it's it has other stuff in it, so mei termesin, they don't like those that liquid. Mayim shehidiach ben kvashim mushlakos v'termesin arei luasurin. But if you just rinsed off things that were already pickled or cooked or termesin, that's asur. Right, only if you used it for the processing is it going to be mut. Hidiach ben anavim va'ovshin l'chole asur. If you washed off grapes for somebody who is ill, so then that is asur because, again, there's nothing wrong with that water, and therefore it would still be asur. Okay, all the different details of the Mayim Galuyim, as we know, the Gemara spends a lot of time, because this was very common in the days when the snakes were more common. As we mentioned, Tosfos a couple of days ago, what about Bezman Hazeh? Hamish Amer Shel Yayin. What if somebody has a strainer? There's two parts to the kli. Let's say there's an upper part and a lower part, and there's a strainer in the middle for wine. You're going to put wine in the upper part. Do we assume that the venom passes through the strainer? So upper part, lower part. So let's see. Machlokas. Hamishmer shel yayin. So we're going to flip the girsa based on elsewhere. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, emaisa pekuka milamala. If it's plugged, if it's closed on top, if the upper part of the wine is covered, af al pishi psucha milamatan. Even if the lower part is open, it is okay. Why? Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the venom does not stay on top, but the constant dripping keeps the snake away. So even if the bottom part is open, but if it keeps dripping from the top, so you don't have to be worried. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, imaisa tachtona mechusa, if the bottom one is covered, ava bisho elyon megula mutter. As long as the bottom one is covered, even if the upper one is megula, it's going to be mutter. Bepnei she'ires nachash omed kisvacha, because the eres, the venom, is like a sponge, va'omed milamalan, and always stays on top. And therefore, you don't have to be worried that it's going through. It's not going to get through the strainer. And therefore, Rabbi Nechemya says, if the bottom is closed, then you're okay. Even if the upper one is open, you can drink from the bottom. This is all if you didn't try to push it through the strainer manually. Avalam taraf asr. Naturally, it's not going to get through the strainer. But if you push and you shake it around, then it could even get through the strainer. And therefore, you'd have to be nervous about that. Good. What about other protections? Login batiko mutter. If you have a flask that you put into a chest, so that's mutter. That's covered enough. Mechus aveno pakik aser. But if you just have a cover on it, but not a totally tight-fitting cover, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says you have like a board on top of the barrel. So we're choshish maybe that the snake's going to be able to pick up the board and get in. Pakuk veino mechuse. If it is sealed but not covered, imayu pakuko chotz mutter. If it's a tight-fitting pakak cork, so then mutter. Trein amaron. What is how tight? Chad amar kadeshi natal bipakako. One says tight means that you could pick up the whole thing by its cork. You pick up the cork and the whole thing gets picked up. That's tight. V'charana amar kadeshi liyikanis l'tocha rosh hakarkar. The other one says as long as you can't put a stick, like a point of the thing that you use for the weaving, you can't stick that in between the cork and the barrel, so that's tight. Amar biba manda avit tavis plakagle machasile. Whoever wants to do it well, should stick it in machasila and also cover it. Period. Talking about the wine in terms of the strainer, this is on a weekday. So just to mention, this is a big discussion in Hilchas Borer also, in terms of straining, right? Straining is a classic Kli Borer, and any type of straining would be usher on Shabbos. For the Mayim Gluyim, you want to strain it? The answer is, so don't use wine. I mean, it's Pikuach Nefesh, so you want to do that, but just because Mishum Sakana, you can't be Docha Shabbos if there's another choice. So use Challah. Use Challah for Kiddush. Or use Chamar Medina. That's the Shabbos. Interesting discussion in the postgame. Just one thought about Hilchas Borer. Borer seems to be, some Achronim ask, we know there's a principle called Melacha Shein Yisrich Lagufa. You're doing it for a different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan.
Right, that's the classic example of definition of Malachas Nesvich Lagufa, according to many Rishonim. So ask the Achronim, the Yeshua's Yaakov, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Yutes, quotes from Achronim, isn't every case of Borer a Malachas Nesvich Lagufa? Because let's say the other definition. Rashi says you'd rather not be in this situation. Right, you carry something out of the house because you don't want it in your house, not because you want it outside. You try it to hurt you, not because you want the animal. So here, you'd rather not have the psoles in the mixture. So taking out the psoles, why isn't that a malachas nesvich legufa? So the Baal Amar says, it is, but that's the chiddush of Borer. Borer is a malachas nesvich legufa that you're chaya for. That's the chiddush, that was in the Mishkan. But the Gemara never says that. So the Achronim, the Yeshua's Yaakov quoted here, it says, no, we have to look at a redefinition of the malacha of Borer. Borer, don't look at the specific act that you're doing. You're taking the bad from the good. No, borer is tikkun ha'ochel. You are fixing up this mixture so you could use it. I'm going to take out the black jelly beans because I hate black jelly beans. And so do you say, what am I doing here? I'm taking out the black jelly beans or I'm fixing my bowl of jelly beans. Tikkun ha'ochel. So if you look at it that way, then it's tzricha legufa. It's not inyan tzricha legufa. Right? And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes here. Inyan borer shapsolas inyaroi lachila v'kam ha'ochel inyaroi kolach lachila. And therefore, isn't that a problem? He says, no. He says, Mikri malacha tricha legufa. The gabesh de ochlim, see if you can find the exact line. He says, glazeo mafred absolim na ochel. Okay, malacha ena nichres albreas absolis, raktem misakin ha ochel, shehe roi lachila. Zeo malacha tricha legufa ochel, demashvile ochel gamer. So that's how you look at, Zobar, according to most. Rishonim don't say the Chiddush of the Baal Amar, so it's called the Tzricha Legufa. You just got to figure out how. So that's why on Shabbos you would not be able to use this strainer. But again, you have to find something else to use if it was Mayim Galuyim. Okay, we'll have to stop here by Login Shehinichu, and by the Shem we will continue with our issues of Mayim Galuyim. Right, this is it. This is the most comprehensive discussion in Shas. About the Mayim Galuyim, because this is where it comes up in the Mishnayos. Right, two more blot relating to Mayim Galuyim.